Just one verse this evening, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 17. So let's read Proverbs 17 and verse number 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And Lord, thank you for your precious word, the riches that are in it before us. And I pray tonight, as our pastor opens up your word to us, that you'll fill them with your spirit. And Lord, minister to our hearts. And Lord, that we'll go away with what you have for us. And we'll thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Tonight's lesson from Proverbs, as you know, that's the name of our series, and this is number 49 of all things in our studies. Can you believe we've been there that long? 49, and tonight is simply entitled, A Friend Loveth at All Times, taken from Proverbs 17:17. Well, Solomon's still teaching his boy, and every dad ought to teach his boy, but he's teaching his son the importance of being a true friend. And you know, today, friendship has been waning, I think. There's a lot of judgmental stuff going on with an awful lot of people who claim to know Christ as their Savior. And friends are few and far between, it seems, because people lose their friends or they give up on their friends. It has been said that a friend is one who knows all about you and loves you just the same. Isn't that the truth? They know all about you. Well, as much as you let into them, into their knowing about you. But a friend is one who knows all about you and loves you just the same. It's also been said that if a man can count his friends on one hand before he dies, then he's been blessed indeed. One hand means five fingers. And I believe that to be true as well. I mean, real friends. Now, I'm blessed beyond measure, and the Lord has given me good friends throughout the years. Very, very thankful for that. I remember when I was in high school, actually, I had to make a decision about the direction of my life. And I had all kinds of acquaintances and friends, many of them going in a different direction than the Lord was leading me to go. And I remember one night, doesn't matter, it happened, because I was there when it happened. I just gave all my friends to the Lord. And I said, Lord, you need to bring into my life people that are going in the same direction that you're calling me to go. And it's amazing how the Lord then immediately started bringing some into my life that have been my friends for all of these years, and how thankful I am for that. And so, then one of the reasons for this is found in Proverbs 17:17. This is going to be our jumping off place tonight, and I don't want you to put your Bibles away, because you're going to need them for the stories that I am going to read from Scripture. But the Bible says that a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I've often joked about that last part of the verse. I say, well, that either means he's there for you when you're having a hard time, adversity, or that means he's there to give you a hard time. And I believe it was very applicable to both. But let me show you the context of this verse. Would you look at it with me, please? A friend loveth at all times. The context is the end of that verse, adversity. A friend is someone who's there for your adversity. He'll be there for you in hard times, good times, bad times, dry times, rainy times, sunshiny days, gray days. For adversity, that's a friend who will be there during all of those things, not just a sunshine friend, not just someone who's there during the sunshiny days, or there with you for the good times, but they're with you for all of your adversity, which is a time, by the way, when most of us feel most alone. One might ask, though, what does that mean? Well, look at the verse again. It says what it means. It means that a real friend loves at all times, and I think that's good. I wrote down a few instances, not just in sunshine times, not just in good times, not just in happy times, not just in generous times, not just in healthy times, not just in cooperative times, not just in honest times or unselfish times, and not just in righteous times, but the Bible says that a friend loveth at all times, gives it a context at first and foremost, during times of great adversity. And God says that it is the real true friend that will love at all times. That's a challenge, don't you think? A real friend will love at all times. Because we can all think of times where there's people that are most unlovely and we don't feel like we love them at all. And the truth of the matter is, that's the way it is with all of us. So what I would like to do is I would like to illustrate this in a number of passages in the Bible. And I think the Bible makes this truth very clear throughout the pages of Scripture. Number one, if you're taking notes, and that is this: Joseph was this kind of friend. Genesis chapter 45 and verse 5. I'm going to read it to you in your sermon note page. You can write it down, or you can turn there and get there, because I'll be there for a moment. But in Genesis 45:5, the Bible says, "Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." This is Joseph, betrayed by his brothers. If ever there were a man who should not have loved in this way, it would have been Joseph. Think about how he was treated. He was rejected by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was removed from his family and from his home. And he was made to live in a heathen land, put into prison, forgotten about, lied about, and falsely accused. You would think that this kind of treatment would have made a very bitter individual who hated his brethren, hated his family, and hated everyone who had treated him this way. When you think about it, even when he worked for Potiphar and his dirty, wicked, evil, lusting wife looked at Joseph and said, "I want you to commit adultery with me or fornication with me." And he took off and ran. She grabbed his coat while he was running and lied to her husband, and he put him in prison. If ever there were a man that should have been bitter and angry, it should have been Joseph. Yet Joseph loved his family no matter what they did. See, because they started all that. Why? Because he had that coat of many colors, and they were jealous of the father's treatment of him, that he was the favored son, and that he had had these dreams and different things that sort of put down the family, and they decided to dig a pit and throw him in it and kill an animal, put blood all over that coat of many colors, and lie to their father and all that, and Joseph was sold into slavery, but he wasn't bitter against his family. It's amazing how he loved his family. Look at the response, if you would please. You have your Bible there? Chapter 50 of Genesis in verse 21. Look at his response to his brother's evil that was committed against him. In Genesis 50:21, it says, "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." These were the brothers who sold him and lied and all the things that went with it. He said, "I'll take care of you. I'm going to feed your kids. I'll feed everybody. I'm going to take care of you." He was not bitter against them, but this was truly a brother that loved at all times. And like I said, if there were ever a man who had a right or a reason, right might be the wrong word, but I'm going to use it, had a right or a reason to be bitter and angry against his family, it would have been Joseph. Look at everything that happened. But you know the interesting thing about Joseph? This man, the Bible says the Lord was with him more than any man in the Bible. The little phrase, the Lord was with him, the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with him, over and over again. God took care of him, and it didn't matter what his brothers had done. And by the way, God used Joseph in a very mighty way. So Joseph was a friend to those of his own household. So the question that I ask is, are we truly a friend to those of our own household? I think maybe families give other family members reasons to be bitter and angry and upset. And by the way, that's true in our society. And when you think about brethren and you think about sisters and you think about, it's like the lady asked one day on a Mother's Day, question and answer time, she said, "How do you honor a dishonorable mother? How do you give honor, as the Bible says, to honor thy father and thy mother?" Never forget that question. The answer that I gave was simply this: you learn to turn out right. That's how you honor them. That doesn't mean you have to hold them up on a pedestal, but you can honor a dishonorable parent by turning out right and doing what is right. But here we have Joseph, who had every reason under the sun to be bitter and angry and upset and unforgiving. But no, he loved at all times. And I love what it says in Genesis 50:21. Now, therefore, fear ye. He said, don't be afraid. He said, I will nourish you and your little ones. And the Bible says he comforted them. When you take the word comfort and take it apart, comforte, it means to come with strength. I'm sure they were weak in the knees when they saw Joseph, but he gave them strength because he loved them at all times. There's a second illustration I want to give you, and that was this. It was Moses was this kind of friend. In Exodus chapter 32, you have your Bibles there. In verses 11 through 13 of Exodus 32, notice these words where it says, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. And by the way, the word evil here is talking about destruction or being destroyed. I've joked about this often. When Moses was mad at God's people, God said to Moses, now Moses, settle down. It's going to be okay. And when God was angry with his people, Moses said, now God, settle down. Calm down against your people. It's a good thing they never got together on that. What if Moses would have said, I am so mad at these people, I could just destroy them. And God would say at the same time, all right, let's do just exactly that. I'm glad they never got together on that. Let me finish reading here. He says to God, turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil, this destruction against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Moses was a friend to the people of God, at least as he was at this moment, and he was a friend to his people. And the sins of the people angered God. Yes, that's right. God gets angry at sin. He loves his people, but he gets angry at sin, and God would have destroyed them had it not been for Moses. Let me read this to you in Deuteronomy. You got your Bible there. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 18, and then a few more verses after that. It says here, and I fell down before the Lord as at the first 40 days and 40 nights, and I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And then verses 25 through 29 in Deuteronomy 9. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and I fell down at the first because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember thy servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin, lest the land whence thou broughtest us out to say, because the Lord was not able to bring them unto the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. Yet they are thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest out by thy mighty power and by thy stretched forth arm. Moses pled with God not to destroy the people, and they had sinned grievously against the Lord. And as I said, I'm glad Moses and God didn't get together on the same thing about destroying the people. But Moses got on his face before God and says, remember, these are your people. This is your testimony. They're going to say you just brought them out to kill them. No. Moses loved his people even in their disobedience. That's an amazing friend of the people. When I think about that, I've often thought about how some people that I know over the years have prayed against the people that have hurt them. And they want God to be like a, They want God to be a mafia leader and to go out and get them, a hit man. And God, get them and knock them down and kill them and destroy them. And no, Moses said to God, now, Lord, they have sinned grievously. They have done horrible things, but they are your people. And Moses pled for mercy. And by the way, God heard him, and God answered his prayer. There's a third illustration in the Bible that I want to share with you tonight, and that is Jonathan was this kind of a friend. Yeah, David's friend, Jonathan, in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 33, where the Bible says, and Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him. Who's he throwing a javelin at? He's throwing it at David. It says, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. It's an amazing thing about Jonathan and David, with about the kind of friendship and love that they had one for another. It's an amazing story. Many people have misinterpreted it. Many people have made up things to fit their own lifestyle of sin or whatever. But Jonathan really was a good friend to David. And as the story goes, King Saul, Jonathan's father, was on the hunt for David. The interesting thing was, the women in the town sang songs. One of the songs they sang was, Saul has killed his thousands. And you know, that made Saul kind of puff up with pride. All right, I killed my thousands. Until they heard the chorus to the song. And the chorus to the song was, and David hath killed his tens of thousands. Now that angered Saul. And Saul determined he was going to hunt David down. In fact, declared a fast and said, nobody eats, nobody drinks anything until David is dead. He did change his mind later. David had not done wrongly, but Saul was enraged with jealousy. And in the story of Jonathan and David, Jonathan stood by David as much as he possibly could as his friend. And I think that's a marvelous thing. We need friends that'll stand by us. You know, through the years, you're going to be accused of many things, things that are true and things that are not true. But you're probably going to need a friend who'll say, no, I'll stand by you. Or, no, that's not true. And I've had that happen with me, where people have said things about me, but others have stood for me. And I've appreciated that very, very much. A true friend, the Bible says, is a friend. And I think that's wonderful. And Jonathan stood by David. Even though his father Saul, the king, was against David, Jonathan stood by David. There's another story in the Bible, and you probably will never remember the name. And I will probably pronounce it incorrectly, but I'm going to pronounce it the way that I've always pronounced it. And that is, a man by the name of Barzillai was that kind of a friend. Barzillai, Barzillai, in 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 32. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. He was 80 years old and still strong. And he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Maanaim, for he was a very great man. Amazing thing, Barzillai stood by David. And when David was in trouble over his head, there was a friend named Barzillai who cared for David's needs. Isn't that something? I'm sure everybody else had given up on David, and so many people had turned against David, but Barzillai, no. At Maanaim, Barzillai just took care of him. And when it says he was a great man, that did not mean he was wonderful and very famous, though he may have been known back in those days. He was a great man. He had a lot of wealth. He took care of a lot of things, and he took care of David. And he took care of David in his time of need. And one has said that you find out who your friends are when things get rough. The older I get, the longer I'm in the ministry, the longer I deal with people, the longer I stand in this pulpit, the longer, more than 46 years now, full-time in ministry, I'm just here to tell you this is very, very true. You find out who your friends are when things get rough. Absolutely. There's a fifth one that I want to give you tonight. And that is a fellow by the name of Ahikam, who he was that kind of a friend. In Jeremiah chapter 26, verse number 24. Let me say it again. Jeremiah 26 and verse 24. The Bible says, nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, and they should that they should not give him under the hand of the people to put him to death. Ahikam stood by the man of God when the people were against him. By the way, Jeremiah, a very powerful preacher. In fact, he was known not only as the weeping prophet, which he was, because he wrote the book of Lamentations, five lamentations, five very sad stories, times of tears, but he's also known as a fiery preacher. And Ahikam stood by him. And Jeremiah was pretty much all alone, but Ahikam stood by him and for him. Interesting story in the Bible. I encourage you to go back and read it on your own. I could have taken time to read all of these stories from beginning to end tonight, but we would never get out of here till 9 o'clock. And I don't want to do that to you. But you know what Ahikam did was he protected Jeremiah when priests and false prophets demanded his death. Isn't that wonderful? There was somebody that stood with God's man. And I guess Ahikam was not one who quickly listened to gossip, nor did he listen to an evil report. No, he was one that simply said, no, I'm going to stand by the preacher. And that's exactly what he did. What a wonderful and, by the way, inspiring story. When I think about being in the ministry for now full-time for 46 years, and I realize there's been a number of people through the years that have stood by me and stood for me, and you want to talk about something that's encouraging? That is nothing but pure encouragement. I thank the Lord for that. Remember, a friend is somebody who knows all about you and loves you just the same. Was Jeremiah a perfect man? Oh, goodness, no. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Jeremiah was in that same thing. Yes, he was. He was a sinner just like everybody else. But with all of his faults, he had a friend named Ahikam that stood with him and stood for him. I love that story. There's another one. Brother Penn, I remember when I preached a sermon on this man. You guessed it before I got here. His name is Ebed-Melech. Ebed-Melech. And he was that kind of a friend. And that's in Jeremiah chapter 38 and verses 7 through 10. Let me read these verses to you. It says, now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah. That word evil, I want you to look at it again. Yes, they've sinned, but the word evil means destruction. They were there to destroy this man. They were there to ruin this man. They were there to hurt this man of God. And it says, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah, the prophet whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. I love this. He heard that Jeremiah had been cast into a dungeon where he would probably just die. No food to eat, no water to drink, losing his health, and soon he would die of hunger. But with the king's permission, he rescued Jeremiah. What a story! With the king's permission, he went and begged for the king to be merciful, and he came to his side when he needed him most. Think about that. These illustrations in the Bible, and I've only got one more that I want to share with you and then a conclusion I want to give you. But the Bible is filled with stories of men who stuck. The Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and we know that's a prophecy about the Lord Jesus. But in reality, it's also about having a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that's something good to think about. The last one I want to give you is Luke. And he was this kind of a friend in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Now remember, Luke traveled with the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, suffered a lot for his faith. When you think about how many times he was beaten with a cat of nine tails, you think about the rejection that he got, his imprisonments, and all the different things that went with him. But the Bible says this, as Paul is in his last days on this earth, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, these are the last written words of the Apostle Paul, and he makes an interesting statement. He said, only Luke is with me. Wow. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Paul was near to the point of being martyred for the Lord Jesus, and Luke stayed with him to the bitter end. Wow. Think about that. Luke stayed with him. Only Luke is with me. Did that mean that nobody else loved Paul? No, but Paul just made a statement. He said, Luke's it. It's all I have left right now. But what are the applications that we can make from these Bible examples of friends who chose to be friends all the time, chose to love at all times? I wrote down 7 lessons, which I will not elaborate on. Number one, we should love as Joseph did. He loved his family in spite of their hate for him. Number two, we should love as Moses did, and plead for mercy instead of judgment. Number three, we should love as Jonathan did and stand by our friends. Number four, we should love as Barzillai did and care for the needs of our friends. Number five, we should love as Ahikam did and remain true during the hard times. Number six, we should love as Ebed-Melech did and plead for our friend's life. And number seven, we should love as Luke did and remain faithful to the end, to the very end. The Bible says a real friend loves at all times, and this is why I chose to do as Brother Hiles taught me years ago. He said, I will always be a friend to my friends. That was a life-changing truth that he taught. I will always be a friend to my friends. But one more thing. I want you to notice what Solomon taught Rehoboam in the last part of the verse. Notice what it says. And a brother is born for adversity. He wanted Rehoboam to be there for the people in their adversity. He wanted him to be there for them during their hard times, to be there during those times in life that were going to be so difficult. He said, now, did Rehoboam follow that advice? Not even close. But didn't mean that the teaching was nullified. So I guess the question I ask myself tonight is, what kind of friend are we? What kind of a friend am I? I think these are high and lofty goals to have in our life about being the kind of friend that we ought to be. Our text verse tonight was Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. And the context was adversity, especially in adversity.